I think it is fitting today that we got to hear some of our children play music, and we had the opportunity to welcome and applaud them for their efforts. I'm skipping over the part about the dedication stuff. I have heard people say that children are the future of our church. And I like that, but I think it falls short. I think children are the church. I think children are as much a vital part of a religious community as any other member. Indeed, they inspire us. They remind us of our highest ideals. They see very plainly the need for us to treat one another with respect and compassion and dignity. They exemplify the interdependent web of creation as we watch them, as they play and grow. They are connected to everything, and everything is connected to them. The little ones especially know immediately the world of snakes and snails and ants and magical bears named Pooh. They embody the best of what we want to see in the world. This is my last Sunday with you. It is tempting to wax poetic and sound like a commencement speaker. It is the season for such things, after all. It's tempting to encourage you to follow your dreams and reach for the stars. But that's not my thing. After a year of me showing up here a couple of times a month, this should not be a surprise. I remember the commencement speaker at my graduation. I was at the University of Maine at Farmington, and our graduation speaker, because I believe Barbara Bush was busy that year, was Tom Chappell of Toms of Maine. Uniquely uncharismatic guy, he rambled on for about 15 minutes or so about how we ought to take risks and follow our dreams and break out of the mold society had built for us, etc. I remember thinking to myself, this is what we should have heard during freshman orientation. Not now, after mountains of student debt took away a lot of the freedom to explore in favor of a job that would pay Fannie Mae. Today I do want to talk to you about dreams, though. This congregation has dreams. They're a bit tangled and disorganized at the moment, but you've got them. And you're getting a new minister. I met with her this week, and I like her. I also told her not to let you have the bell. You don't get the bell back. Not yet. She's funny, and she's sharp, and she's sweet, and sarcastic, and pastoral, and kind and human and real. You'll do well together, I think. She will be a good person with whom you can work out the details of your dreams. So today I leave this pulpit, and I'll only be back in the building again for a day or two in late June to clean out the minister's office. Now, there are some realities associated with my departure, some very logistical sorts of things. For the period of about 2 years, I will not be available to you in any sort of pastoral way, nor any social way. You have a new minister, and I will not interfere with her ability to establish her relationship and her ministerial authority with you. This seemed like a terribly unfair thing when I first learned of it, and I want to tell you a story about how I came to understand what it meant. I was in seminary at a time when we were all of us learning to be ministers and to stand with authority and claim our authority as ministers. And we were doing internships and field education placements, sort of like student teaching. And I had a colleague who was kind of an introvert and sort of a shy guy, really, really smart, but just wasn't the sort of person to stand up and say, go here, do this. And he had the grave misfortune to follow a charismatic, outgoing intern who also played the guitar, which is just unfair. And so my friend, we shared that year, and he shared his struggles of stop hearing about this other guy. You know, like, I know Dave, he said he's a nice guy, but geez, am I tired of hearing about him. And, oh, last year Dave did this, and last year Dave did that. And so after long into February, he started to step into his own stuff. And in New England, in this particular congregation, they have a cabin fever talent show program, you know, sort of a silly thing to get people out of the house in the grim, gray, muddy days of March. And things were going really well, and then Dave showed up and sang a song, and it was good and it was funny, and left, and my friend was right back at square one. He had to listen to another couple of months of, oh, wasn't it fun to see Dave? Dave wasn't his real name, but you get the idea. And so when I heard that, I made a promise to myself that I would never, ever, ever do that to a colleague. I know that I am outgoing, and that I tell good stories, and that I'm an extrovert, and I need to remove myself so that you are able to focus on your new minister, who may or may not be anything like me, but I need to give her the space to do what she needs to do, and for you to have the space to do what you need to do to embrace your new minister. So what this means is I won't be answering emails or phone calls. I will remove folks from my Facebook friends list. That's hard, I know, since social media is so pervasive in today's world, and it is where I do so much of my ministry. But I have to do it. In a couple of years, you can send friend requests to me again, and we can reconnect. But not in a pastoral relationship. In the meantime, if we run into each other around town or at General Assembly when it's in Kansas City next year, we do not have to walk past one another without saying hello. We can chat and get coffee, but it needs to be limited to that. Remember that boundaries are my superpower, and I hold them firm as a matter of both principle and healthy relationships. Today is the Christian holiday of Pentecost. How many people here know what that is? Well, a fair number, okay. So, it's a story from the book of Acts, which they never told us, but I learned was written by the same person who wrote the Gospel of Luke. And the story goes that this is after the crucifixion, and Jesus had ascended, and the apostles were hiding from Roman soldiers, and they were staying in an upstairs room at a house somewhere in Jerusalem. They were scared and confused. Their leader had left them. They were trying to figure out how they could lead themselves. And suddenly they heard a noise like a strong wind blowing, and the Holy Spirit came upon them and appeared like a flame above each head. And they began to speak in crazy sounds. People in the street outside heard the noise and muttered unkind, judgmental things about those guys who sounded mad and drunk so early in the day. But then all of the different people on the street in Jerusalem heard the men talking to them. Each person heard words in their own language. And the disciples were preaching the good news of salvation in the miracles of Jesus' life and ministry. This phenomenon of speaking in tongues is what differentiates Pentecostal Christians from other denominations and sects. It is rooted in the story of the Pentecost. Now, we Unitarian Universalists may not do a lot of transcendent trance or spirit-induced vocalizations of the experience of the Holy Spirit in whatever form it may take for us, but I would remind you again that the ancient scriptures are able to hold truth without being understood to be literally true historic documents. And we can understand the experience of Pentecost through our own experiences of ecstatic joy we might feel through music or art or dancing. We might know that soaring of the Spirit that happens when we fall in love, or when we make a big breakthrough on a project, or have a deep passion for a social justice cause. It is the thing that keeps us awake at night, the thing that causes us to rise up in the morning ready to go. I remember dancing and weeping with joy when the Supreme Court ruled for marriage equality in America. Friends have told me about similar experiences at the birth of a child or a grandchild. There are lots of things that set our spirits on fire. Our fierce cultural dedication to individualism can make it a challenge to work together on shared passions. But in this religious community, it seems like perhaps the most likely place that that could happen. You've got an annual meeting to attend to after worship today, and there are important decisions to make, big ideas to consider, and some challenging changes to how things are done. The board has worked hard to develop a budget in line with our shared UU values, and you will be asked to support that budget both with your vote and with your pledges. Being part of a shared community is not always easy, and is sometimes work. It means we have to make compromises for the good of the larger whole. We are a covenanted community, and that matters. A covenant is different from a contract in that once a contract is violated, it is broken and cannot be repaired. A covenant leaves room for mistakes, for missteps, for accidents, the occasional poor decision. It leaves room for us to be human. A covenant calls us to work through the rough things, remain in relationship so that all may benefit from our association with one another. So as you go into this meeting and as you go into your relationship with your new minister, I will challenge you to think about what it is that sets your spirit on fire. What is it that drives your passion, that makes your heart beat fast in your chest, your eyes grow wide, and your adrenaline start to flow? What is it that you want for this religious community? Now, if what you want is to show up and get a pat on the head and a lollipop each week for being a good liberal, And if you have not heard me yet this year, let me assure you that that is not what the job of this institution. Church is a gym, not a spa. Church is a gym, not a spa. It is where we build moral and spiritual muscle to go live out our values in the world. And our church needs you to do the work in order to achieve those dreams that beat within your chest. So I'm going to do now what I've done so many times this year. Let's take a deep breath. And another, breathe in. And one more. Look within yourself and consider what it is you want this place to be and what it is that you are willing to do to make that happen. Discern what it is that sets your heart ablaze and do that. Work for that. We are a community bound not by creed or oath or dogma, but by shared values and a covenantal commitment to make both ourselves and the world around us better for our presence here. Now go do it. Blessed be and amen.